You can't see the eyes of the demon till you come calling.
Okay, welcome back to Meat for the Beast, episode 18.
18?
Here we are. Ooh. Yeah, we're legal.
Yeah.
Street legal.
Yeah, we're back after I took a brief sabbatical and those chubs from Friends of Batman decided to muscle in. I'm back, baby.
All got a bit noncy.
Episode. You don't want that, do you?
No.
Oh, I'm here to clean it up.
And we're in... Mommy's saying we're in new Beast HQ.
New Beast HQ, yeah. Beast HQ.
New chapter in McVeigh's life as a single gentleman.
Single gentleman.
Moving a step away from my married lifestyle.
Yeah, you Jaffa. Shit.
So, yeah, nice. Moved into a bunch of flats I used to live in. So, it's nice to be back.
Yeah, must be. Does it feel weird?
Yeah, because it's nearly 10 years ago that I was here.
Blimey.
Yeah. So I learnt to drive when I was here, and I've been driving about 8 years.
Right. So. It's also the site of where we fashioned our Batman comic.
Oh, yeah. This is the complex where we had our Batman night. We had a curry and got wankered and watched Batman Begins. And
we watched the Burton one as well.
We were going to, and we couldn't be arsed in the end.
Yeah.
And I ended up on the deck going, Alfred!
That's a good curry.
In a Batman cow.
Good curry.
Yeah, yeah. I get shit for using jarred curry, but it tastes well. Like Melissa doesn't. Mine always tasted well nicer, I reckon. Because it's like, you've got the jar there. I mean, you know what I mean? She's not like going and farming the fucking.
I get you.
Curry
I understand.
Shit, you know?
There's times when I'll buy a jar of Patak, sell some Lloyd Grossman shit. But I've always got the ingredients in to make it. I don't make it properly. I don't like toast the seeds and then grind them up and shit. But I've got jars of the spices. You just need to be fannying about with.
I suppose you are a bit of a connoisseur in the kitchen.
I am. I'm a good cook, man. Yeah.
as our old friend Batty McVeigh will attest.
Sometimes too good a cook.
He had a few good meals.
He certainly did. There's not enough cheese on there. Put more cheese on it. I'll cover it in oil.
So, I wanted to start out with a bit of a plea. So, I think it's fair to say, James, we've not been one of those podcasts that say, it's free, you fucking owe us.
Yeah.
You fucking owe us, cunt. Go sharing.
Like and share it, please. Tweet it, email us. Yeah, we've never asked for that. We've never been up cap in hand as well.
Yeah.
Going, please.
And we've never been shy of expressing our real opinions. Regardless of the fact they'd probably scared off most of the listeners by now.
But at least it's honest.
Yeah, exactly.
No compromises.
Yeah. And I suppose like putting someone like Stephen Hawking on a shit list and me ragging on him every episode. It's not the best way to win people's hearts.
Yeah, but we're not trying to win their hearts, trying to win their minds.
Exactly.
Make them think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I think most people probably listen to it like, from what I've heard, like on a bus or a train or in the car or something, and I can understand why you won't be pulling over in the fog to fucking track us down on Facebook and share a link of a picture that you might not want your friends and colleagues to see. But it'd be nice to get more listeners.
I'll just say hello, just alert us to your presence.
Yeah,
a bit of interaction,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
I mean we've got regular. People who chime in, if you're listening, let us know.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, we do have a few people that are really nice and share it and appreciate it, and you know, have helped spread the word. But if you know someone at work that's into the same kind of shit, just drop them a line or give them a pat on the back and say, "You look like a cool guy." That's a little something for you.
Yes, I'm a name dribble. But yeah. Recently, might as well do a shout out to Si and Duncan off of Radio Sheffield,
who
had me as an early morning guest on the Sheffield Uprising.
Sweet, yeah.
I know Si's a big fan of podcasts, and he was quite chuffed to hear that I did one. And hi Si and Duncan. So yeah, that was
good
weird.
Stuff.
Early morning, being on the radio.
Yeah,
fucking hell.
Yeah, I've been on Radio Sheffield, and I found it dead stressful. I think I did all right, but I was totally shitting it beforehand.
Yeah,
I nearly bailed out. I was like, fuck, I don't know if I can do this, and it was kind of a work thing, and sort of promote some stuff I did, and yeah, I can't listen back to it.
No,
like, I happily listen to this shit, but you know, when you're actually trying to. Something that's yeah. going right out there, and
it comes across as a bit more formal, and like, yeah, you've got to be on your toes,
and you can't, you know, you there's no way you can sort of drop a swear word in there without getting,
I know,
in a lot of trouble or whatever.
Getting the station, did it get fined? I think.
I think there's a bit of a delay. I think there's like a sort of minute delay, and I presume there's a guy on a button going. know, there's a guy looking out for it or whatever. I don't. Maybe not. I'm guessing because there's producers on these shows, aren't there? So
yeah.
Let's see what else they'd be doing. Is it sort of techno, isn't it? I mean, they're not going to be on the fucking dials, are they? These days.
No, I can't say.
Shit. Not like us.
No, like,
the fucking
fuck
snow.
Shit, twat.
Still sharing the snowball, mate. Thanks. Yeah, cheers. Because that is your old. The first time I heard you doing a podcast was on his show. On his film show.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. I used to do the... I was a guest on his show. He did the film thing. And then he moved to do the morning show, and I took over the film show for a bit.
Yeah,
that was good while it lasted.
Yeah.
But we won't go into any further.
There's a lot of inept public-funded wankers involved.
Yeah.
I remember you wrote a stern email to somebody.
Fucking hell, yeah, that was a... Yeah. I have to respectfully decline this. It was actually the time you came over from Macclesfield, and we couldn't even get in the fucking building. And I'm like, it's bad enough keeping me locked out, but my guest has come over from fucking another county, and you can't be asked to open the fucking door.
Yeah,
bullshit.
It was in the workstation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fuckers. So, I mean, if you've got someone like me coming over, you don't want to be... embarrassing yourself like that, yeah.
Exactly.
Big name like Jim Connolly.
It's one thing Jim Connolly does is that he never fucking forgets.
Nice glass you're giving me here, by the way.
It's alright, isn't it?
Blind Pig? What's that?
Some weird fruity cider.
Yeah, right, lovely.
But yeah.
Is that another of your pillages?
No, actually. I was in the pub and I said to Mandy, the landlady, I'm like, those glasses are right nice. You want to be careful with them. And she's like, do you want one? I'm like, yeah, all right. Do you want two? I'm like, yeah.
Sweet.
So I've got clearance to have some free glasses.
That's all right.
I've got a bottle opener out of it as well. The cider's not that great, though.
Yeah.
Full of sulfites, gives me indigestion.
Right.
It's like a blueberry-flavoured one, but it's just too sweet.
That sounds all right.
It sounds nice. Yeah. And the wrapping's really nice as well. It's like one of those bottles that's wrapped in paper.
Yeah.
Good style, really good design, good branding. Shame about the drink.
Yeah. Blueberry's a bit of a hit-and-miss one, isn't it? Because I had a blueberry stout the other day, which was absolutely delicious, but I've had a blueberry beer in the past, and it was just like drinking pot puree or something.
Yeah.
I'd struggle to get through it.
Pot puree?
What do you call it?
Potpourri.
Potpourri.
What, pot puree? You fucking peasant.
I've only seen it written down. I'll give you that.
Thanks.
I'll give you that, old friend. we let Halloween sail by for the second year running like a pair of twats, despite being big little Halloween and horror men.
Well, we didn't let it sail by, we acknowledged it and we watched a load of stuff, but we didn't tell anyone about it.
Yeah, but you were busy
over
Halloween period.
As usual, Sheffield had Celluloid Screams, I think it's fucking seventh year, I think this.
Yeah, it will be, won't it?
No, 2000. Oh, let's go with sixth or seventh. I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, and as ever, it was a wonderful event. Closing gala was Deep Red with a live score courtesy of Goblin.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then we were treated to half an hour of the best of Goblin, because Deep Red doesn't actually have that much music in it. Like when they did Suspiria, they're constantly playing something.
Uh-huh.
Deep Red less so. So
yeah.
Yeah, but it was nice to see Claudio Simonetti stood on stage wearing his leather trousers and sipping on a Thornbridge.
Excellent.
But some terrible visuals at the end when they were doing their best of. It was Claudio Simonetti's Goblin on this PowerPoint presentation in fucking Comic Sans.
Oh no!
Oh God, come on, dude.
That's,
I know you're continental, but come on. but that was a wonderful closing event. But the whole thing was great. I'm not going to mention everything, but the film that really kind of, I think like last year I mentioned Spring. I was raving about Spring.
That was my
highlight, and it was kind of like the one film of the fest that wasn't really a horror film to a degree. And this year my personal highlight was this Aussie film called These Final Hours. The world's going to end in about 12 hours. You get the impression there's some global catastrophe has hit on the other side of the world, and you've just got eerie, like you've got this guy on the radio saying you've got 12 hours left, people, what are you going to do? Fuck. And it's about this dude who he's trying to get to a party just so he can get off his face, because he knows it's going to hurt when it ends.
Yeah,
and he's got his own selfish reasons, and then he sees the opportunity to nick at some dude's van, but the dudes had kidnapped a little girl, and he's trying to nick the van, and he can hear screaming from inside, and he's like, oh, for fuck's sakes. So he goes in and rescues a little girl from some dreadful nonce business. Sure. And it's just this party dude, burly knobhead, and a little girl who've got their own reasons to get where they want to go, and it's this unlikely bond that is formed. And how he changes, it's just wonderful. It's really,
really good.
It's really good. It's a lot of people said it was a bit bleak, and obviously, you know, dealing with the apocalypse, it is. But it's just the way they did it. Wonderful film, really good.
Excellent. Of course, shout out to Rob Nevitt, who runs the festival. He's his short film Metamorphosis was it? It got on. There was a BBC Three series recently called The Fear, which is still on the iPlayer, I think. There's some really good short films. It's all about sort of short horror films, and it's by the people who make Gogglebox, which I've never watched, and they chose quite a strange selection of public to show these films, like, because
the Gogglebox link makes sense then, I guess, because that's a proper wide group,
right,
film.
okay, because there was a kind of a handful of people that, well, there was like probably only two guys that seemed to know anything about horror. And then there was three black dudes who were funny as fuck. They were like just being wankers to each other, and that was quite funny. But they hardly get on because they just swear all the time. There were two sisters who were quite likable and a bit odd. But then there was like a couple of nurses, and one of them was just like some rum old slapper with big knockers, and just took every opportunity to draw attention to her tits. She presumably wants to get in Nuts magazine or something. And it was like, why would you get them on?
Bloody hell.
Like, if you need to get... So I had a quiet day, and I tracked them down on Facebook and said, like, you should choose your audience more according to the demographic of the people actually watching the show. So I think, because at horror festivals, girls there are usually sort of goth chicks or like heavy metal babes, aren't they? And that kind of thing. And
there's a lot of them, yeah.
So it's, you're not going to see some slutty nurse with big knockers, you know, going, oh, I don't like that one. Some of the films were really good, though, really. There was a few stinkers, aren't there? Probably the worst one was the one that won for me, because I won't tell you what it is, but it completely ripped off, it's called Insidious.
Right.
It's just, they just put the demon from Insidious at the end. It's like, hey.
Shit.
And the guy who judges the final bunch was the guy who did Blair Witch. It's like, I don't know if that's your judgement. No wonder you've not done shit since 1997 or whatever.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Hats off to Rob, though. Yeah, his was just a lot stronger than a lot of the others, I thought. You know, I thought he... And they seemed to really like it, the audience, so... I don't think it got in. It didn't get through to the final selection, but it was way better than a few that did, so hats off.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good little flick.
With your guy in your band, was in it? Oh, was Ollie in it as well?
I think Ollie's in it. He says you can see his feet, despite the fact he did spend hours having some prosthetic like wound on his face.
Oh, sweet.
He couldn't see it. and Joey, our singer in The Clench, he's the guy, because it's all first person, but when you see the reflection, that was Joe. Interesting tale about that. Joe's a teacher, and he's saying that one of his students was, she was ill, and she was full of some medication, and she was having trouble sleeping. But she said she woke up and she felt really, really battered. Turned on the TV at the exact moment at the final of that film, and she's like, "Why is my teacher on the TV looking like that?" And she thought she was tripping out. Random.
Excellent, excellent. And of course, Rob got the Chatterer from bloody Hellraiser in it, didn't he?
Of course,
was it,
yeah.
Or was it Butterball?
I think it's the Chatterer. Shit. Nicholas Berman Vince.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent. So yeah, check it out. It's on the iPlayer, it's Fear. The Fear, I think.
The Fear, yeah.
Of course, being a good friend of Rob's, McVeigh's not fucking watched it yet, have you?
I've already fucking seen it.
Oh shit, son.
You dickhead. Dickhead.
We should start taking scores. It's probably 1-1 so far, isn't it? This podcast is just a way we can take cheap pot shots at each other.
Yeah, let us some steam, brother.
What else was it? Sorry, I put you up.
No, it's all right. I'm going to go a couple more features. Sally Yellow Screams. There was a film called Goodnight Mummy, a German film, which mum's had some plastic surgery, and she's got her face in bandages, and she comes home to the two twins, who are like, "This isn't our mum," and it's how that pans out. It's great. It's kind of like how it ends up, the way it goes. You could argue it's a bit telegraphed, but it doesn't matter. A lot of people have the issue with that. That it was like, I saw the ending coming a mile off, and it's like, that's not the point. It's kind of how you get there. But yeah. I've never heard an audience collectively gasp before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Involving some super glue. It's fucked. Right. But everyone it's quite weird.
What's it called again?
Goodnight Mummy.
Is that out to rent yet, do you reckon?
I don't know. I know there's
it's quite a fresh film.
Yeah. I think it might be getting a cinema release. I couldn't speak to that though.
Okay.
Another film that was divided opinion was The Secret film, which it kind of always does tend to divide opinion, The Secret one, but it was a film called Darling, and it was just, it had a bit of a vibe of Roman Polanski's The Tenant and Repulsion in this, and The Shining as well, in the way this girl moves into as a caretaker into this apartment block, and it's what happens to her, but it's really beautifully shot, and it's just, yes, good little movie.
Cool.
So I don't know what's happening with that, whether that's coming out. Also, because I've been in this new gaff, I haven't got fucking internet.
So
I don't know a lot.
Yeah.
So Netflix chatter will be
have
limited.
Have you got to deal with fucking BT?
No, got to deal with E, but they seem all right.
Yeah.
But there's been a bit of a delay. Twat.
Yeah. I went past I was in Birmingham yesterday, and I saw the fucking BT tower.
Yeah.
And like, I remember last time I was there, I was with John, and we were saying we were going to draw a nasty comic about it getting blown up by disgruntled customers, and they seem to have caught on wind of that, because they're reinforcing the tower now. They're reinforcing it with concrete. It's a lot of hate. I've spent hours on the phone to BT over the years. Luckily, I've not had to deal with them for a while.
Blimey.
So that's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, nice segue. Anyway, back on topic.
Yeah.
A couple of short films that stood out.
Yep.
It was mentioned last year, Andy Stewart with his gory tattoo removal film, Ink. He brought his new film down, which also starred Nicholas Berman Vince. It was called Remnant, about this girl who's having trouble, this woman who's having trouble in her life, and you can't really say too much about it without really saying what's going on, but essentially she's being late for work, she's getting disciplined, but she's also out clubbing, and what's going on? Right. It's good creepy little movie. Cool. So Duff of the Cap to Andy there.
Yeah, because there's photos of you out boozing with him, weren't there?
Human pyramid.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I had a bruise on my back for a week after that. Yeah, I got something. Did you get about 10 people in it?
Yeah. Who started all that shit then?
I think it was him.
Right. Good work.
Another short that was my highlight, I think, it's called The Chickening, which it's like a fake trailer for The Shining that's been CGI'd up to fuck, in which Jack moves into caretake of this chicken restaurant that's built into the side of a volcano, and he's gradually turning into a chicken.
That's fucking bizarre.
It's amazing to see. The highlight is what's the kid called? Is it Danny?
Yeah.
And his little imaginary friend. Well, Danny's got a fucking beard like a 40-year-old man, and talks like an Italian American dude, and he's proper sassy. And his little finger mate. What's he called in The Shining?
Ernie or something. Tony.
Tony is also a little Italian man with a hat, and it's just astonishing to see. The CGI is brilliant, and it's just totally fucked up. The chickening, and I think the only problem with it was that funny. you missed a lot of the of what was going on because everyone's laughing.
But
the Chicken Inn should be emerging soon, I think. It's been doing the festival rounds, but it's a hoot.
Sounds good.
I'll see if I can dig out. The guy's got some, he's got a great show reel, and we can put some links to his work.
Cool.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah. You've been very active on social media with the podcast.
I have been very active. Let's have this out, Jimsy.
I went on the Twitter the other day and people have been banging adverts on our Twitter. And this McVeigh motherfucker's not.
People have been banging adverts on it?
It was some like Google advert. It was like, they've been invading our wall.
Have they?
Yeah.
I didn't. You usually get notified if something's on the wall. I didn't see it.
Maybe it's just me seeing it. I don't know. Maybe they just intercept individual.
Maybe.
Threads, you know what I mean? You might not be able to see it, maybe.
Do you know our Twitter, like, there's our wall where our tweets are? I don't know how Twitter works that well. But your main thing is all the things that you follow. And if we've both signed up to follow something, it just because it's there doesn't mean it's at you.
It is on, I saw it on our wall.
All right.
But, I don't know, maybe it's just
I'll have a look into it. I've had a lot on, Jim. Been moving house.
Now, chasing tail. I'm joking. Yes.
Yeah.
What's next?
I just recently, to bring it more up to date, I saw Krampus yesterday.
Oh, yeah. The Christmas-themed horror film.
Yeah. It's by the guy, what's his name? I think Michael
Bublé.
Michael Bublé. Michael Bublé made a festive horror film, which is better than his fucking festive horror album, I guess.
I was on TV before I left. And I was like, how do I know that guy's name? And I couldn't tell you anything about him. It's one of those fucking. You don't need to know anything to know him. It's some fucking cheese dick. You know what I mean? Whatever he's done, he's got no relevance.
Yeah.
Sort of thing my mum would ring me up about and tell me, oh, he's coming to the arena or something.
Yeah. He's got a wonderful voice. Apparently. My mate Becky went to see him, and she said that he was very lascivious live, like encouraging knickers being thrown, and he was very rude.
Shit.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, he seems like housewife's favourite or granny's favourite or something.
I once heard a funny story. You know, Robbie Williams is kind of, you know, like for a certain. I think they take that was for like teenage girls, wasn't it, and younger probably.
Yeah.
And gay guys, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And then he moved into like he sort of rebranded himself a bit as like trying to be Oasis or something.
Yeah.
But he still kept a foot within the pot world.
Yeah.
I think in that transitional period where he was trying to be a bad boy, but his audience was still little girls. He played in Manchester Academy. Came on stage totally naked, off his head.
Christ.
And got into serious shit with the cops because it basically. Flashed a room full of prepubescent, well, not prepubescent, but like, you know, probably average age 14.
Blimey.
I actually thought that was quite funny. Like. So, yeah, hats off to Robbie Williams for that one.
Chimp faced buffoon.
If nothing else.
Yeah. Christ.
Anyway, you were on about Krampus, and then we got to Robbie
Williams. Yeah, it's by, I think it's called Michael Dougherty. He directed, the last film he did was fucking years ago, Trick or Treat. Don't know if you saw that.
Oh, man.
Halloween anthology movie.
Yeah, Brian Singh was involved, wasn't he?
Mike produced it, I think.
Yeah. With Sam Haim as the little bad fella.
Yeah, little.
He was cool.
He was very good.
That's a classic. I really like that, actually.
No, it's decent. I watched it recently, at Halloween.
And it's got Rogue out of the X-Men getting a bit frisky.
Oh, yeah. That's a good little tale, a good little switch on that one.
Yeah,
so this is his follow-up to that. Krampus, I'm led to believe, is a German or certainly European folklore dude about tale about like the anti Christmas in the way that St. Nicholas brings presents to the kids who've been good. Anyone who's lost the Christmas spirit and is doing anything against Christmas, Krampus comes, takes you away. It's good. It's really good. Like, you've got a family Christmas. One kid is still being idealistic about it and wants everyone to have a nice time. Obnoxious in-laws come and visit, and it's like, oh, a bunch of dicks. And there's a lot of beef. So he tears his letter to Santa up, which said, "Dear Santa, all I just want is for my family to get along."
Yeah.
And he tears it up and he throws it out the window, and it gets swept off. And then there's a blizzard, and the Krampus comes calling.
That shit storm follows.
Yeah, but it's really fun. It's essentially, it's got a proper Gremlins vibe, because Krampus has got his minions, so he's got some elves, but he's also got other fucking things like possessed toys, and there's this really this twisted Harlequin thing with a mandible that opens
that's in the trailer, isn't it?
From Blade 2.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's nasty. But the highlight, there's a really good. This isn't a spoiler. But there's a bit where there's been a power cut and the family's all sleeping in the front room. And you can hear this giggling, a little childlike giggling. And you hear this rustling, and a chain and a hook comes down the chimney. And this fat kid wakes up and he sees that there's a gingerbread man attached to it. So he goes over to it, and he's like, oh, and he's in the middle of the night. Takes a bite out of this gingerbread, and the gingerbread just suddenly comes to life and goes, yeah! And wraps him up in the chain and fucks off with him up the chimney. The little gingerbread men are brilliant.
When it's done right, horror comedy can be very rewarding.
It is. It's thoroughly decent.
Is there a comedy vibe running through?
It's very amusing. Yeah. Some of the dialogue is tight. It's fun. It's funny stuff. And it's kind of essentially Gremlins meets a Christmas Carol. Elements of, I guess, Home Alone style stuff going on. But it's well worth your time. Catch it while you can.
Did they get like Rob Zombie to play Krampus or something?
No, he's a big beast, prosthetic.
Yeah.
It looks like one of those kind of Jim Henson puppets that has like three people in it.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
But he's a big, burly, horned, cloven-hoofed beast in a cloak with chains and shit.
Bloody hell, right. Is that one of the things where kind of Christianity collides with pagan traditions? And it seems they sort of, there's a kind of merge.
It could be. Like, I'd like to, I am interested in looking into it more, but I think it reminded me of, it didn't remind me of it, but in terms of what it's dealing with. Rare Exports, do you see that?
I did, yeah, I liked it.
That was really good. Because that was, I think it's been out long enough that we can, spoiler warning.
Yeah.
But when you find out that it's not, like, they all...
Santa's an evil cunt.
But that, also, the dude wearing the Santa outfit that they've just imprisoned for a bit isn't actually Santa, he's just one of his mental elves. And that Santa's a fucking horned beast living under the mountain.
That's due a fucking sequel, that one. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it was really good.
Similar vein as, was it Troll Hunter? I used to share a house, with a couple of German friends when I was a student, and a friend called Pete. And Christmas came around, and there was all the kind of, Christmassy stuff was creeping in.
Yeah.
And Pete was like, I've not seen anything about Black Peter. I was like, what the fuck are you on about, man? He's like, he's like, if the kids have been naughty, Black Pete comes and takes your presents. I'm like, what black? Like a black guy? He's a black guy. It's like, you see it in Germany and Holland and stuff. And I don't know if we ever had it, but...
I don't think we did.
It's gradually been phased out of the world, but there's... you get these Morris dancers with painted faces. I think there's sort of a niche trying to keep Black Pete alive. But he's totally should get banned. I thought he was having me on for a while. I'd never fucking heard of it ever. But
that's quite funny though, because you could have, folks from other cultures could spin you any bullshit.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting about you, Bonnie. About your culture, that's really fascinating. And they'll be like, ha, ha, ha. Stupid English.
I remember watching the snooker with him, and if you've never seen snooker before, it's just a bizarre game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It just looks like randomly hitting weird colours, and you can't hit this colour because of whatever reason. And
I find that every time I happen to see cricket, I don't know what the fuck's going on. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, fucking cricket. Some weird rule in cricket where if something happens, they have to replay the whole day. What's all that about? Cricket, as they say around here.
Do they?
Cricket. I had a friend into cricket. He's like, I'm going for cricket today and tonight. he's from North Sheffield.
Oh, I fucking love a bit of cricket. Cricket. Rubbish. If you disagree, write in. Rubbish. also, it looks a bit dangerous because that ball is fucking well hard. You get that in the face.
I know.
You're certainly losing some teeth.
I've watched a cricket game once because I was me and a friend found a porno in the woods. It was a safe place to kind of flick through. Oh, it looked like we were watching the cricket.
I thought it was like it was his turn, so you thought you'd go and watch the cricket while he finished off.
Oh, one more cricket story. Lived in Buxton briefly, and I used to. There's this tiny little village called Doveholes. Doveholes, weird name.
It is weird.
It looked really depressing, but apparently it's like, it looks a bit Dead Man's Shoes, this village. It's like, right, kind of, you know, leaky bits of Dead Man's Shoe. Anyway, there was a basketball court there which no fucker ever went on.
Right.
You know, I used to go up, drive up there and just have my own court. It was great. But like, one day there was a cricket match going on because it was next to a cricket place, and so I went to the organisers and said, is it going to piss everyone off if I start banging a basketball around? And they're like, yeah, it'll be all right, don't worry. I think they appreciated the fact I asked. And then nobody was looking at the cricket. Everybody was just watching me trying to slam this basketball and doing us. You know, like when everyone's watching, you can't even fucking do the simplest thing.
Did you bounce it and it hit the tip of your toe and then the ball just fucked off? Excellent.
But like, you know, if you start just... You know, if you've been sat down all day and then suddenly start jumping like a twat, it fucks your knees up.
Yeah.
So I used to do a few laps of the court before doing it. Like, and anyways, I only did it for about 20 minutes because I couldn't handle the pressure of all these people watching. I kept fucking missing shots. But then as I was driving out of the place, because I used to park in the cricket car park, I noticed some guy in his cricket uniform was running around the basketball court. Like I did at the start. He inspired him to have a little jog around the basketball court.
That's funny. Yeah. I love the fact that cricket is still that rubbish that people would rather watch a nutter playing basketball on his own. Yeah. Even though they've gone to see the fucking cricket.
Some fringe dwelling Beevor fan. Shall we take
Sorry.
Okay, we're back with more horror talk.
Horror talk!
As I did, I was inspired by a friend Marcus every year at Halloween. Around Halloween period, he has a bit of a marathon of horror films.
Yeah.
So I kind of... I did something I normally wouldn't do, because you know when people do, day number three, of there's a new song by so-and-so, it reminds me of this, that and the other.
Yeah.
I kind of tried to avoid that sort of thing on Facebook, but I did a daily update of what film I watched the night before. And it was actually quite nice. People seemed to get into it. Like, the right people were like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to check that out. And although someone said they'd check one of them out and it was shit. So I just picked up. So there's a few on the list. Well, and then it kind of rekindled my horror love, because I'd had a bit of a break, you know, because Martyrs disturbed me.
Oh, Jesus.
Big time, because I saw it on a big ass screen and...
Yeah,
I've been put off horror for quite a while.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Martyrs is strong.
Yeah.
Drove me to a fucking whiskey at 12 o'clock.
like David Lloyd style. We saw the V for Vendetta guy once and he was hitting the whiskey at about 11:30.
He wasn't bitter though, was he? And then later. Me and Jim went to a comic convention in Bristol years back. And David Lloyd was there. Fucking furious. There was one panel that he was in later and he's just a fucking pint of Guinness on the go. Like, where'd you get that? They don't even sell drinks in it.
Yeah, Guinness with King Jamie's Chaser, I think.
Jesus.
And then he got another one when he went on the way out. But I mean, I passed the chance to have a drink with him though, which I've always regretted. Although we had a bit of banter with him, didn't we? You know, the one Sunday or something.
I think so, didn't we?
Remember you talking to him and I was just sort of hanging around. You're good at that sort of thing. Is that John McRae guy was there as well? Is it John McRae?
John McRae.
Who did Dog Welder and all that?
Oh, right. Shit. That was good. I got my got my copy of Watchmen signed. I had to take the shrink wrap off and everything. Massive knobhead.
McVeigh bought a new copy of Watchmen.
I fucking didn't.
He pretended he'd read.
You twat.
And tracked down Dave Dillon and got him to sign it, even though he wasn't doing a signing.
I know.
Sure, he didn't mind.
He didn't mind. He drew me a fucking my own personalised Rorschach, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I had this gag for years that McVeigh had left the shrink wrap on. don't break the seal, Dave. Such a funny, you couldn't bring yourself to open it.
Oh, dickhead.
But
anyway, yeah.
Turbo Kid. Have you seen that yet?
I have not seen it.
Oh, right, okay. That was Martin, your mate Martin.
Yeah.
Mr. Carhill.
I know, he was vouching for it.
It's been a while since I saw some of these, but I thought it was good. It was very low budget, jobby, but in a kind of a good way. Very gory. It had Richter from Total Recall was in it as the baddie.
Is he at the party?
See you at the party, Richter!
Nice. Yeah, Michael Ironside.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always good.
It had a girl in it who was sexy in a really weird way. Cause she had a really insane smile and look about her.
Right.
I forget her name. Well, it's worth seeing for her. Just she was the highlight for me. And she would have made a really good tank girl, I think.
Right.
Got that kind of, you know, kooky, what cool vibe. And yeah, just a nice fucking funny horror film, gore fest.
Cool.
Bit of a sort of Mad Max kind of theme running through it, but everyone's on nobody's in cars because there's no fuel, everyone's on like choppers and stuff.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Everyone's on like push bikes. Yeah, very 80s. I think the idea is the world ended in the 80s and it's like, so 80s culture's still prevalent, you know, in a kind of post-apocalyptic way.
Nice.
I got that vibe. Then there was Housebound.
Housebound, one of the highlights of last year's Celluloid Screams, I think. Yeah. That's a cracking little movie.
Yeah, lots of curveballs in it.
Mm.
And is it an Aussie flick or New Zealand?
New Zealand.
Yeah, it's hard to tell the difference, isn't it?
There's something about the New Zealand sense of humour that is more in tune with ours. See also Canada, I guess. There's a weird kind of... It's like we're on the same level there, humour-wise.
Yeah, like what we do in the Shadows as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Another sort of... The guy from... What is it? Flight of the Conchords, isn't
it? Yeah,
He looks incredibly cool with a tash.
He does, doesn't he?
Without it, he looks a total gimp. With that tash, he could be a proper stud.
Yeah, badass.
Well,
yeah, he's also that knobhead fantasy writer in... Gentlemen Broncos, isn't he? Which is an overlooked gem, Gentlemen Broncos. I don't know if we've mentioned it before. It's by Jared Hess, who did Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre, but it's arguably his best work, and no one saw it. It's a hoot.
I had to buy it after you showed it me.
It's really good.
It was only £3 because it bombed.
It's a shame.
With darts dipped in, blowpipe darts dipped in dog shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrible. What would that do to you, do you think?
Give you something of an infection, I think.
You won't be feeling good after it, would you?
No. It's also like a really shit attack as well. It's like, I'm not trying to really even hurt them, it's just going to annoy them in some way. Oh, you dick. Get off.
That was a classic.
Yeah.
American Mary. That gives you the chance to name drop the Soska sisters again.
See, this hand, Jim, has touched...
American Mary.
American Mary.
No way.
And the Soskas. Yeah, one of them, anyway. Yeah.
Do they look less creepy in real life because they're in the film, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're less... Yeah, they're, yeah. But it's interesting, the Soskas. They're becoming like a brand themselves.
Right. It's got that vibe, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. But American Mary is strong. I tried watching their follow-up film because they got in cahoots with WWE Studios. They did a sequel to See No Evil, which is...
Right.
Starring Kane. I don't know, whatever.
Some wrestler guy.
Yeah. But like, teens in morgue, it just didn't do much for me.
Yeah.
But American Mary is cracking, isn't it?
It is. Strong flick. And body horror, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Self-alteration. Mm. So a bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
I could never even bring myself to get my ears pierced, to be honest.
I once had my eyebrow pierced.
Right.
That was all right. It got a bit pussy. I had to clean it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then I binned it off. But I couldn't even have a tattoo, I don't think.
Yeah, I've got sort of hairy arms, really hairy arms.
You have to shave it off, wouldn't you? And then when the hair grows back, you won't have to see it.
So what I thought would be cool is it to get, because I've been a big Batman
bloody hell
fan. Yeah, a bit of a wild man of Borneo. But I thought it'd be cool to get like bats coming from the hand that I draw with, and have them sort of wrap around my arm and then get really big on my back.
That would be quite actually. You should forget what I just said. Do that.
But you wouldn't see them through these fucking Wolfman arms, so there's no point.
Like, they're like proper. Like, I've got like fine downy hair on my arms. You've got proper like wiry pubes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fucking A. Wolverine arms.
Yeah, totally. Well played.
They sort of phased out Wolverine being a hairy bastard, didn't they? Because he used to have proper hairy back and everything. Now he's a bit more for the ladies, I suppose. Understandably.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone called The Signal on Netflix, which...
Larry Fishburne?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Any good?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I got really into it. If I describe it as a horror, actually, it's probably more creepy science fiction.
Right.
A small group of people hunting a hacker who's done something to piss them off. And they track down where this person... two of them are kind of real tech whizzes. They track down where this hacker should live. And it all looks a bit wrong. It's in the middle of nowhere and there's no one around. And it's all a little bit strange. And then it cuts to them being in some kind of institution with people in, you know, nuclear-type suits and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't know what the fuck's happened. And the film's just figuring out what the hell was going on, basically. Mm. And to say any more than that would just wreck it. It was really inventive. I really liked it. But it's certainly one for a certain mood. Like, not exactly a beer and crisps film.
Right.
It was a real... I watched it on my own late at night, which is the best way to do it, I think. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wish I could say more about it. But it's got quite a cool science fiction element later on. Yeah, he's very good in it. You know, when he played Morpheus, there's a bit of a distance within him.
Yeah.
And like, when he's telling Neo about the Matrix, he's almost a bit of a cunt about it. Yeah. I think when you listen to it, it goes, "You've been living in a dream world, Neo. Like, you're a fucking idiot."
Dickhead.
Yeah, so then it's a bit like that, but even more deadpan, "You're a dickhead" kind of thing.
It's weird. I was just thinking about Larry Fishburne. I mean, looks, obviously, you know, people age and they change. Mm. But Larry Fishburne seems to have just become massive. Not like fat massive. It's like his shoulders grew insane. Like, if you compare him in, obviously, he was much younger in, like, King of New York, where he's fucking after some chicken. He just went from really being, like, wiry and lean. He is totally after chicken in King of New York.
I was trying to remember the scene. It's a... Yeah.
Can I help you? Yeah, you can help me, motherfucker. And he just orders a shitload of chicken. Later on, Wesley Snipes is trying to track him down. It's like, you chicken eating motherfucker, I got some chicken for you.
That was it. That's the quote I was looking for.
Fucking loves it. But he's really thin and wiry. And it's not like he got fat. It's just like his skeleton continued to grow. And whenever he turns up in anything now, like, I think he's in Hannibal he is. He just always appears like big. And beastie.
That happened to my old man, because I've seen pictures of my dad when he's young and he's quite a slight chap but quite tall, but by the time he was like chasing 50, he looked like he just had big shovel hands and he was like, you know, Ray Winston's shoulders. And, yeah, I think it just happens to some bloke. No, I just sort of fell out. Yeah, check The Signal out. And you talked about Spring earlier. I gave that a shot.
Yeah, Spring,
really like that as well.
Lovely, isn't it?
I liked it because it was a step away from your average. Did you say the Resolution guy made it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an interesting run, then, that chap or chaps.
There's two of them. Like, right. I think they're both co-directed Resolution, but one writes and the other directs generally.
Strong flick.
Really strong, yeah.
It was kind of more of a love story with a horror element in a good way. Well, I've got to say, I think the main guy was a bit of a pusshole, because...
Why? He fucking leathered that dude.
Yeah. There's quite a good fight at the start. But he basically goes travelling. He goes travelling to Europe and goes to some, like, remote little village in Italy. And there's some stunning Mediterranean woman in a really sexy sort of scarlet dress. And he goes and buys her a drink, and she basically says, "Let's dispense with the bullshit and I can get down to it."
Yeah.
And he says, "No, I'd rather take you for a meal tomorrow night and have a glass of wine." And I was a bit like, "Oh, you fucking knobhead." I'd have totally dropped at that first hurdle.
Well,
and you have to deal with some freakish. I thought she was just thirsty for a bit of loving, you know.
Well, there is that.
Put money to play hide the sausage.
oh, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Where did it go?
I think I could hack another, like, once I had a Mediterranean girlfriend, and I just couldn't be arsed now with that, you know, that sort of fiery kind of aggressive attitude, and, you know, I don't know, like that volcanic fucking blood.
Okay.
Like, he has to deal with a lot of shit in that film.
He does.
Regardless of the science fiction horror element.
He does have a lot to deal with, yeah.
It's like, I don't think I'd have got very far with that woman. I'd be like, oh, I can't really be arsed, love.
Well, you don't choose who you love, do you, Jim? You don't choose who you love, you fall for.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd have gone back to Amsterdam with those fucking Bellends from London. Yeah. Oh, right, fella. One of them looked a bit like Hal.
Yes, he did.
The groom's Violante.
Shout out to Hal.
Yeah.
Who always, actually, to his credit, always his complaint about our podcast is that there isn't enough of it. So when you're doing another one, it's all
really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good of him. Oh,
yeah.
Good of
him. Maybe if I step my game up a bit more.
Is Hal a regular listener then?
I believe so.
Blimey, shit. I suppose you need something to put on when you're on them trawlers, don't you?
Oh, oh,
boom!
Oh, shit!
Sorry, Hal.
Hello, Hal. Feel free to chime in with some aggro there.
We need to get him back on. His episode's really funny.
Yeah.
It's
Well, we'll get him on in the new year. He's just launched a gaming website.
Get him on,
pimp that out.
Yeah.
Nice.
Has it got a name? We'll give it a quick shout, can't we?
Oh, I should know this.
You're fucking writing for it, aren't you?
I'm doing something, yeah.
Slack.
Oh, fuck me. I don't know what it's called. I've got no internet, mate. Def exclusive. There you go.
Right, okay.
Def DEF.
And is that a site yet?
It's a site, it's active, there's a few things up in there.
I saw a holding page that looked pretty cool. I wasn't sure if they'd put it live yet.
It's live.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good work. Yeah, but we'll get Hal on to pimp that properly. But there was a good line he said when he was on. We were talking about what's his name, Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
Hal was like, oh, what a grubby splitter, because he fucked off to Marvel.
Yeah, he did like that.
Yeah.
Grubby.
Insidious 3, which I don't think you've seen.
No, I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, but it was a bit of a muted release.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the second one, I think.
I didn't mind it. It wasn't great. But...
I think what I did have an issue with, you know, there's that, the older lady, the medium, played by Lynn Shea.
Yeah,
Who's been in a load of horror.
Yeah.
I think in the second one, there's like a flashback to her as a younger woman doing something.
Oh, yeah, with a biddy voice.
And she's got her voice.
Yeah. Oh.
Don't make any fucking...
Order's time.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. But I did like the first Insidious. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the second one had its moments, but it was a bit unnecessary. But this one's a bit more forgivable because it's kind of her origin story.
Right.
It's about how she, you know, becomes the person you see in, you know, the first film.
Okay.
And those two dudes that hang around with her.
Right.
And I didn't mind it. If you like the first one, I'd even say I probably preferred it to the first one, like, because it was, I don't know, it wasn't just... I think there's more than one story as well. I think there was a couple of things going on, and there's a great, like, shock at the end. Like, I kind of saw it coming a bit, because there's a way that... there's a way the camera sort of sets... There's a way the shot's set up, and she's not centrally aligned. You see the dog barking at something in his cupboard, and it looks, you see this like little face in the distance, and it's like, what the fuck's that? You know, to get you to kind of glimpse at the screen, and then, fuck you.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll give the director that. Loads of good jumps in it, if you're like Melissa hates jumps, and she had to go to bed. It's too much for her. Howl. Did you catch Howl?
I never even heard of that.
It's like a werewolves attack a train that they stop some London commuter train in the middle of nowhere, like equivalent of the Peak District.
Right.
And they just start bombarding this train, and it started really well. It was, and it had fucking Sean Pertwee showed up at the start, which is nice because the dog soldiers shout out, I suppose. and the main guy in it looked a bit like John Pertwee. So I thought, oh fuck, is that Sean Pertwee's son? Apparently it's not.
Right.
It was good, but it was one of them, like, you know, when people just start abandoning all logic.
Yeah.
Like halfway through, people just start doing stupid things, like some fat knobhead football fan decides to go for a shit in the carriage where the werewolves have invaded.
And right.
It's like, why would you do that? Even if you're hammered, you'd be like, you'd have some self-preservation.
Yeah.
No matter how, I think, unless you were like on the floor unconscious, you would just shit your trousers, wouldn't you? Like, as I once did.
We don't like to talk about that, Jim.
The Cheadle Trouser Massacre. Well, yeah, check out How. It's good. And there's a proper cunt in it. They're like, I'd happily live in London in my younger days and stuff, but there's a certain type of person that you hate in London, isn't there? Like, yeah. Not everybody, but there's like that sort of business twat that will barge into you on the tube. Yeah. And that if you're taking longer than a second to put your card in a machine, you'll feel them breathing down your neck. And
yeah.
He's just a fucking arsehole.
Right.
And he's like the main antagonist character.
Right.
And like the protagonist is the ticket man. He's like a young guy who's like in a bit of a dead end with his, you know, he doesn't really want to be working on the train. And when he has to show the ticket man his card, he's just got it next to him and he just gestures to it.
Oh.
Like, you're not worthy of my attention.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, you get those dickheads anywhere, don't you? Not just in London.
Yeah.
So that was good. And you saw Wolf Cop.
I saw Wolf Cop. That was amusing. I don't think I was nearly leathered enough to be watching it, but it was all right.
Ridiculous film.
Stupid. I did like it. I think when he when he pimps up the car.
It's a Wolfmobile.
Yeah, that's good. It totally just changes, like. What are you doing with this? Oh, is that what we're having? Fucking hell. Mental.
Yeah, I think it's my new favourite wolf transformation scene. Begins with his cock changing into a wolf dick.
Well, we've certainly never seen that before. Yeah. So, yeah, credit for that. Jeez.
The main character's some unapologetic alcoholic, which is quite original.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to become not an alcoholic by the end of the film.
No.
It's just like, yeah, he's an alkie, don't worry about it. And the bit where he rips a guy's face off, including his eyes, and this guy's just going away with, with a skeleton face.
Yes.
And shows up again later on, still going,
fucking nonsense. But while we're on a wolf tip, Late Phases, aka Night of the Wolf.
Yeah, great one. Yeah.
That was alright, wasn't it?
That nearly passed me by. I'll high five you for that. Well, shit. Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to pass that on because it was actually Rob who tipped me off about
shit.
And I think it might have been something he was considering for the festival point. It's got, what's his name? Nick D'Amici, who folks will have recognised from the likes of Stakeland.
Great, another great one.
And I think Mulberry Street. But yeah, I think in this he's channeling his best Charlie Bronson as a grizzled, blind veteran who gets moved into like a retirement village, and some fucking werewolf shit starts going off, and it's like, who's a werewolf? But this blind, angry army dude is going to fucking find out.
Yeah.
It's cracking.
Because it kills his dog, doesn't it, or something?
Yeah.
So he's out for revenge.
Yeah.
One character in it. He looked really familiar and I couldn't figure out who the fuck he was. So I IMDb'd him. It was the guy from Last Starfighter.
Okay.
He was one of the religious guys.
Was he?
The Starfighter guy.
Right.
Yeah. But it was a bit depressing when I found it out because looking back at him in the 80s, he was proper handsome bloke.
Yeah.
And now he's like some porky, bald bloke. You know? I mean, I've got no room to talk, but...
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and the guy from Manhunter was in it as a priest.
Tom Noonan. Yeah. He's always good for creepiness.
Yeah.
But also Kane, played Kane in Robocop 2.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, shit. Oh, that's a good one. I need to re-watch Robocop 2.
If you do, watch Robocop 3 as soon as possible afterwards.
Okay.
Because I'm going to argue that Robocop 3 is better.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Outrageous.
You heard it here first.
Outrageous.
That's what's going on.
Did you realise Frank Miller's actually in Robocop 2 as well?
Yeah.
As a scientist?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what he looked like at the time, so it totally went over my head.
Yeah.
But yeah. RoboCop 3, yeah, and McVeigh's a big fan of the fucking...
When he flies. Okay, when he flies.
The rocket vaccine where he's got a big white line around him. They've not cleaned that up for Blu-ray either. It still looks shit as fuck, but in high definition.
Shit.
A clown tool would have sorted that out, surely. He's flying around like fucking Buzz Lightyear or something.
Fucking stands up that shit. You shut up. But no, that's the interesting thing, is that in my mind's eye, RoboCop 2 was always better. But if you see it next to RoboCop 3,
okay.
Alright, I'll go compromise. They're both as shit as each other.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch.
But they've got, both of them have got elements of greatness in bits.
I'll have to rewatch 3. Two I did rewatch in a similar vein. I've not seen Predator 2 for absolutely years, so it's really good.
It's really good. Like it.
I always probably, I mean, I'm not saying it's better, but I got more out of it than rewatching Predator, probably because I've seen Predator so many times.
Yeah.
I thought it would have aged badly because it was kind of supposed to be the future at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, set in 97, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And
everyone's sweaty as fuck.
Yeah. But it doesn't look that bad considering it. We're like 25 years on from when it was made.
Yeah,
or
of course. 25.
So,
It's got some. It's got some good stuff in that.
Yeah, fucking voodoo,
fucking
man.
Fucking voodoo, man. You can't see the eyes of the demon till you come calling. Right, God.
Yeah, I had to get Melissa was asleep upstairs. I had to go up and say, "Ooh, fucking voodoo, man."
How every lady likes to be woken.
Yeah, yeah. King Willy.
Also, Predator 2. Did you spot the alien head in the trophy cabinet at the end?
I did, of course I did, yeah. I was weird thinking, yeah, that was the whole trigger for...
Yeah.
I think that even triggered the comics, you know.
I think it did.
I don't know, I might be wrong about that, but I think, yeah, I don't think there was an Alien Predator comic until they did that.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
And then obviously the films, which, you know, I didn't think they were that bad. They weren't fucking great.
I tolerate the first one. I found the second one to be utterly loathsome, and I don't often say that. I thought it was shite.
I like the start where he's on the Predator planet chilling out and they like call him in like a hired gun for the mission. I did like that shit.
And he's there watching telly like fair enough an hour. Don't worry about it.
I suppose it's a tough one because in a comic Predators can talk without sounding shit, can't they? Because it's just a fucking balloon.
Yeah.
Predators talking in a film would be weird.
Yeah.
And so they had to put people in it. And that's when it got a bit crap, really, isn't it?
I think so. We had, of course, after that we had Predators, which I'd totally forgotten about.
Oh yeah, Predators. Yeah, Larry Fishburne again.
Yeah, and that wasn't shit.
My main moan is like, if you've got Larry Fishburne in your cast, why put bloody Big Nose as your main man?
I know.
You know the pianist.
Exactly.
And to be fair, he looked fucking massive in it.
He did.
He's not a fucking action hero.
I think the problem with it was that it was just a bit more of the first one. Just like, we've got a fucking bunch of people in a jungle. It's like, this is not what I signed up for. But speaking of, sorry to diverge from...
I do like the samurai guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Samurai duel with a predator. It was a genius move.
And Danny Trejo is in it as well, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of oozies.
Good concept, just executed. Bit crap for me, but had its moments.
But good news on the Predators front is that Shane Black and Fred Decker, Shane Black wrote, fucking Predator. He's the guy with the pussy jokes in Predator. And he gave us Last Boy Scout and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3. Him and Fred Decker have finished the script for the new Predator film that they're working on. And it's time to undo the buckle. On the belt.
Right. Why have you had a little glimpse?
No, just the very concept of it. But also speaking of what they did, because you find out what people are doing, what's in production and stuff.
Yeah.
They did a Western pilot show for Amazon called Edge the Loner. Did I mention this?
Don't think so.
Some gritty...
Oh, you did, yeah. So go on.
Right, gritty shit. Just it's Civil War it's finished at the end of the Civil War and one guy from his platoon he's been wronged the rest of his platoon are after... chasing him down. He rocks up into town as a loner, obviously, and it's just some fucking insane, violent and funny western shit.
I hope
it gets picked up as a TV show because it came in under the radar. It wasn't until the fucking end credits roll that it's like by Shane Black and Fred Decker. Like, what
shit? Right, it's an Amazon pilot, is it?
Mm.
because they picked up that Hand of God, which I thought was a good pilot, but then I signed out of getting it. Amazon tried to sting me for 70 quid, so I binned it off, but yeah, keep getting tempted to come back. So that Nazi America show looks pretty
good. Yeah, Man
cool.
in the High Castle. Mm. Yeah, based on Philip K. Dick tale.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Fuck,
right.
Yeah, it does look alright, that.
I might just go for the fucking poor man's 3 months and binge it over Christmas.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that about twice a year, can't you?
Whenever I hear the name Predator, I still... When I was growing up, there was a kid down my road who was a bit older and he had more kind of dodgy films.
Yeah.
Dominic Filletti. So, growing up Catholic school, it's all Irish and Italians mainly.
Right.
Like, other, you know, other denominations as well, but... So it was like his dad was Italian, like mine was Irish. So I went down the road to borrow a film and like trade a film for the day. And it was like just his mum and dad chilling out. It's like not expecting this fucking dude from up the road to show up, wanted to borrow films. And his dad's like, really nice guy. So he's like, oh, come in. Let's see what we got. And I had a friend, Jez, with me who knew Dominic as well. And it's like. And he started going around, he's got, oh, we've got so-and-so, we've got a Predator, we've got something else, Predator 2. And then he kept saying the word Predator in this Italian accent, and we both laughed. We just couldn't stop saying Predator in this Italian voice the rest of the day. So yeah, I was struggled not to say Predator in that sort of Italian voice.
I've got a similar Predator accent. Voice. When I went to the Virgin Megastore, it was a Sunday afternoon, it was dead. A tall German fella came in asking for the film Predator. And I went, sorry, what's that? He said, Predator. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm like, oh, Predator!
Predator.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I've got that, no problem. I'll go get it for you. And apparently, he told me it was at the time banned in Germany.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
For some reason, he couldn't get it, but he wanted Predator.
I bet it's got some cool name in Germany, like Schweinficker or something. The Schweinficker!
So, yeah, I like your film a day thing.
Uh-huh.
I think I was in touch with you during that whole week leading up to Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't doing a film a day, but I just happened to be watching horror films that were on Amazon and Netflix and whatever.
Yeah.
And It Follows arrived, which I'd heard a lot about, and it put me on my ass. I kept shouting fuck off at the TV.
It was strong stuff.
Yeah.
Strong. I ended up buying it.
Yeah, I think as soon as it was over, I texted you. I'm like, dude, check this shit out.
Yeah, that was what got me on board, I think.
Yeah, it's it's great. If you've not seen It Follows, it's basically Sex Ghost. a girl starts seeing a guy and he's like, do you see that girl over there with the yellow dress? It's like, no. It's like, right, well, we've got to go. Yeah, there's something mysterious going on. And then he comes clean with what he's done and lays it on the line, and she's been cursed with this sex ghost, and kind of like the only way you can get rid of it is by passing it on.
Send your dirty seed to someone else.
Yeah.
Or your juices.
But yeah, it's really strong. It's got a wicked soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some bits that are just downright creepy in it.
It's kind of it's weird. It's a weird hybrid because it's sort of somewhere between slasher, zombie, and supernatural.
Yeah, but all the while feeling just like a American teen indie movie.
Yeah,
at the same time.
I like the fact the teenagers weren't, you know, they felt kind of believable as well.
They weren't pulled straight out of the Breakfast Club or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like two of them are doing some wanky job in a nice green place, and there was only one guy who was kind of a bit cool, and he was still a bit of a, you could imagine someone, he'd be someone you know. And excellent monster, for want of a better word.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to say too much if you've not seen it. But there's some... Yeah, just the very concept of something constantly slowly walking for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can drive fucking hundreds of miles away. You've probably got, like, a weak head start on it because it's on foot. But
yeah.
It's just... Ugh.
I mean, one slight flaw in it is... I mean, when ships transport things in containers to other countries...
Yeah.
You can't... you can't... Because I don't like to fly. I'd looked into going to America.
Yeah.
And... There are cargo ships you can get on the cheap if you don't mind sitting in a shitty cabin for a week.
Right.
And, you can, like, if you don't want to go on a cruise, you can do it. Like, that's an ultra cheap way of doing it if you don't want to fly.
Right.
So, like, you could potentially, if the thing was following you, you could get on a cargo ship to, say, Australia.
Yeah.
And, like, it's going to take forever for that fucker to find you, isn't it?
That's true.
And can it even go in the water?
Well, it does go in the water.
Yeah. I mean,
well, yeah, it can go in the water. How about, I was thinking, just get in a cargo container, stand at one end near the door, open the other end, let it in, close that door, keep it in a cargo container and fuck it off.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of them things that gets wrecked by a million sequels in it, blatantly, but
yeah.
I presume that's going to be...
I hope it doesn't, but we'll see. Yeah,
trapping it seems very achievable.
Yeah.
But then maybe not.
Yeah, but equally, given the amount of prostitutes and business that prostitutes have, that seems like an easy fucking solution to me.
Like, it shows up at one point looking like a prosy and pissing its pants with its tit hanging out. It's very nice. So I just ruined a good moment.
That's not the highlight, though. God, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it, fellows. And, kind of want to watch it again.
I'll have to stick it on around mine. Next time you're over.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Next time you leave me waiting around all day. I'll be here in 2 hours.
In traffic, man. Fucking traffic. I've just been told.
I can't leave my hometown for a bit. I've got a banjo lesson. So, yeah, It Follows is a great one. I made my collection. I didn't hesitate to buy that.
You don't buy any old shit, do you, Jim?
Yeah.
I haven't got anything lined up. I'm just saying you don't buy any old shit. You know, it's a real deal if you're willing to put out the pennies for the Blu-ray.
Hell yeah, yeah, yeah. I've tried to keep the Blu-ray collection pure. I'll let some of that Nolan shit creep in there, but there you go. I'm joking.
Speaking of Blu-ray collections, I've got to give a sweet shout out to it's commercialism and all, but a very famous online retailer was doing Black Friday sales. Got a sweet Hitchcock box set, the masterpieces, 14 of his finest for the princely sum of £22.
Yeah,
it's a sweet deal.
22 sweet pounds.
I know, right. So I've been watching the classics like Rope and Vertigo and Psycho, but there's stuff in there that I've never seen. It's always been on my to-do list, and one of which I watched the other night called Frenzy, which is set in London, early 70s, and there's a serial sex offender going around raping and strangling women with a necktie.
Nice.
It's creepy as shit, but there's a horrible sequence where you find out who the rapist is, and as he's doing it, he's just going, lovely, 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 and it just goes on for a little, like a bit too long, and he just keeps saying lovely, and because he interrupted the woman on a lunch break, he fucking nicks a half-eaten apple. Fuck's off.
Bloody hell. Where was she having lunch then?
In her office.
Bloody hell.
And it's the ex-wife of his mate.
Shit.
Yeah, shady. Shady character.
Bloody hell.
But actually, speaking of other stuff...
Didn't you say he pinches a few notes out of a purse as well?
Oh yeah, he robbed her as well. It's a bit of salt in the wound. I think the apple's a bit more offensive.
Shit, man. We're not mocking real-life rape, by the way.
Well, of course not, but it's just a strong scene that I wasn't prepared for in a Hitchcock film, I guess.
But
I've recently been watching some old Hammer horror movies that I located.
Oh, right, cool.
I saw some shit like Rasputin, which is quite funny and unintentionally so.
Yeah.
But I watched a brilliant one called Scream of Fear, which is, it's like black and white. This daughter comes to stay at her mother-in-law's while her dad's out of town, and she's not seen her dad in 10 years, and she's like, "Well, where's my dad?" And he's like, "Oh, he's on business. Look, talk to him on the phone." He's like, "Hi, darling, how are you doing?" But something isn't quite right, and it's freaking ace. It's got Christopher Lee in it as a French doctor doing a dodgy accent, but it's really stark black and white, and there's just some nefarious business going on. Well worth checking out. Scream of Fear, also known as Taste of Fear, I think.
Mm, sounds interesting.
It's really good.
Yeah, there's a few of those Hammers a bit forgotten that I remember really enjoying when I was a kid, seeing them late at night on Channel 4 or something. And
yeah.
I don't know what... I need to do some proper Googling and find out what they were. I'm sure it'd be quite easy.
Yeah.
Usually have Christopher Lee in, don't they? And
Yeah. But it's like usually like you think Hammer Horror, you think your Frankensteins and your Draculas and the obvious shit. But then when they do like a contemporary thriller, if you want.
Yeah.
There's another one that I watched called Fear in the Night, which did have Peter Cushing in. This woman, she's a teacher, she's moving schools, she's married this other teacher who teaches at this auspicious academy, and Peter Cushing's the headmaster, and it's in the summer, so there's no kids around, and she's having a mooch about the school, and she hears like the sound of kids, and he's addressing a bunch of kids. She goes in the room and there's no one there, and so what's going on? And to give it away, mind you, I suppose if you've not seen this film after fucking 50 years, but I don't want to give it away because you should watch it.
Okay.
It's just, it's like a British giallo, like, you know, the Italian giallo thrillers. It's like one of those. It's like, there's some twist going off here, someone's up to some cheeky business.
Shit.
It's not supernatural or out, it's just it's just a bit grim. Like, there's a dodgy guy with a prosthetic arm who's apparently stalking her. It's really good.
Sounds alright, though.
Yeah, so recent surprises from the Hammer lot.
I remember Mark Gatiss did that. He did a short series about the history of horror.
Yes, that was really good.
Yeah, I really got into that, and there was one that I liked the sound of so much, I tracked it down. I think it was called The Haunting.
Yeah,
an old black and white one.
Yeah,
and
it was remade with Catherine Zeta-Jones in.
Oh yeah, yeah. I never saw the remake.
A bag of shit.
Is it?
Yeah, it's awful.
I did track it down, and you could really see the roots of a lot of, you know, contemporary supernatural horror. And,
yeah.
Also had a bit of a Doctor Who influence as well, because I think that Moffat guy nicked the angels from it, because there's a lot of scary statues creeping around the periphery, and
right.
Maybe not moving, but like there's a bit of weird statue type horror going on.
So, I'd like to give that another go. I've not seen that in years.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was worth a peep, that one. I've got from my horror, my week of horror. Well, it was more than a week. It's kind of been a week and then a bit of a sort of general dip in since then. But one I really got, I don't know if you've seen it, but one I really, really got into was Absentia. I don't know if you've seen that.
Absentia, no.
It was. I'll be honest. When I was watching it, I was almost sort of a bit bored because. It was real slow burner, and I was thinking the trailer makes it look like it's a bit more punchy and stuff. And it was also very low budget, which the trailer kind of hid a bit, I think. But it kind of was one that really fucking stuck. You know, like when you watch something and it sticks with you, and, you know, like a couple of days later, you're like, oh,
yeah,
that was a bit of a grim concept or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like folklore meets horror, and. You know, like the premise was that there's this nice lady who's about 30 on and she's up the duff, but her husband, a sort of teenage heartthrob she had married, had gone missing 7 years earlier, and she was declaring him what you call death. She was giving him like a dead in absentia.
Yeah.
And then weird shit starts happening, and you know, he kind of starts manifesting. One slight thing that detracted was he looks a bit like Carl Pilkington. couldn't get my head around that at first, but then, you know, I won't wreck it, but it's kind of a nice, I don't know, what's the word, sort of folklore fantasy type horror.
Is it American or European?
Yeah, it's based in LA.
Right.
And so it's essentially this pregnant woman, and you find out why she's pregnant, and then her sister shows up to try and help her out, because she's got to go through giving birth on her own and that kind of thing, and then there's this kind of really creepy, weird undertone to it all that takes pretty much the whole film to amount to much. But like when it does, is the end. I won't. Obviously, I'm not going to ruin what happens, but like the end revelations are kind of like, oh fucking hell! I can't believe they've done that.
Right.
It really creeped me out. But like I say, like watching it, I was kind of a bit like, oh man, maybe I made the wrong decision here, because I've been watching a bit more Hollywood-y type flicks before that, but afterwards I was like, actually, that was probably up there with It Follows, perhaps even better.
Cool.
So, but it's definitely one you've got to be in the right mood for. I really enjoyed Absentia.
Nice. Yeah. I watched a surprising one. I don't even know if I mentioned it to you. Called 100 Feet.
Okay.
It's got Famke Janssen in, and she plays a woman who has... She's been doing she's been in prison for killing her abusive husband, but she's returned home on house arrest. She's got to stay indoors. She's got a tag on her leg. She's got to stay in for a year.
That sounds familiar, actually.
And the ghost of the dead husband is haunting the place and continues to abuse her whilst dead. It's not brilliant, but there's some really strong bits in it. There's a bit, it kind of like reminded me of Hollow Man. There's a bit where the ghost is kind of attacking this hot young dude that she's bedded. As he's just punching him, the guy's obviously reacting to nothing. And then this bloodied, as he gets more and more bloody, you start seeing the shape of the ghost. And then he headbutts him, and the blood goes on the ghost. It goes a bit Hollow Man.
Right. Interesting.
But an astonishingly brutal scene I've never seen. But, yeah, it's decent, and it's by written and directed by Eric Red, who gave us The Hitcher and Near Dark.
Oh, really? So
that's why it was kind of
two classics.
It was kind of interesting to me because he was had a hand in it, because he's not been that prolific, really. But yeah, worth checking out. 100 Feet. I mean, it's good. It's a good Friday night kind of.
Is that a recent film?
No, it's
2009,
I think.
Yeah. I it's not that old then.
Worth a punt, and it's a good Friday night, booze and snacks.
Fucking A. Of course, I rewatched Ghosts of Mars on your recommendation. I watched it. I'd never seen it before.
Hey,
which was a lot of fun.
We got a situation here.
It was a bit like Total Recall meets Assault on Precinct 13.
Absolutely. Yeah. God, I mean, there's some shite in it. But
it's hit and miss, but I thought it was generally hit for me.
Yeah. Ice Cube as Desolation Williams, just rocking up with some gold oozes. I don't care where you got those from. I'm just happy you've got them.
Well, speaking of John Carpenter, these two fools off to see him next October.
Shit.
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
Woo.
This is going to be a weird one because there's going to be a hell of a lot of people. I think we'll probably know about a third of that crowd.
I know,
crazy.
Every fringe dwelling weirdo in the north of England's going to be there.
Yeah.
Is he even playing London? Or,
He's just playing London and Manchester.
Shit, cool.
It saves us a few clams on having to go to Iceland, doesn't it?
Yeah, I bet some dipshit bought the ticket. Do you know anyone that did?
No. Everyone else was sitting on the fence. Because I was like, no, it's going to cost like £500. Just think about it. He's playing there. He's going to play somewhere else. And lo and behold, it was quite funny. I always forget that he has this number. But if Rob ever wants to get hold of me immediately during the working day, instead of emailing me or texting me or ringing my mobile, he actually rings my work phone. So like, hello. And he's like, all right, mate. I'm like, oh, what? he's like, have you heard? I'm like, what? And I was expecting some bad news. Like, Carpenter, Manchester, do you want in? I'm like, yeah, I want in. Nice one, I'll sort it. Boom.
Sweet deal. Yeah.
Efficiency.
I got Sweet Steve's coming, joining me.
Nice one.
Yeah. So.
We can make it this time.
Last time we planned something like this, I ended up getting the shits very badly and had to bail out. But
something to do with the burger.
Yeah. The trousers was ruined. A good pair of trousers were ruined.
So you cost you some trousers and you didn't even get to see Suspiria.
Yeah, old Sweet Steve was left smiling. Now got a free ticket. I took a trip to the Flicks to see the latest Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, which was generally shit, but I did like The Ghost Dimension, that aspect of it, because it went a bit. It stepped out of its own box a bit because it's normally just that. I mean, it never stops being that.
Found footage.
Found footage. Yeah. It never stops being that kind of shitty sort of quality camera work. But takes it a bit further. But it didn't really tick the box. I was hoping. You've had all these films where there's just this demon unchecked.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they'd thrown in some fight against him in this one because it's the final one and. That was interesting. They do a thing where there was kind of quite a poltergeist style picture on the poster where the girl looking at this supernatural hole in the wall,
right?
And it kind of does take you on a trip through the hole,
right?
And where it takes you, I thought was actually quite interesting, but I'd like to have seen a bit more of that sort of area, and you actually see the ghost as well because they've got they're using some weird camera that somehow. To spirit photography,
right?
So, and the ghost, the bits of the ghost look cool because it's done in a similar kind of way to like Venom out of Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, like it's like the symbiote kind of moving around the house and it grows in strength over time. And yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it's not because I paid for it at the cinema, I felt a little bit robbed. But if it was some fucking Netflix jobby, I'd be like,
yeah,
I'll stick this shit on.
Cool.
You know, so yeah, I'd, it wasn't great, but if you're into the earlier ones, I'd go for it.
I like the first one and the third one, I think. Third one was decent. I've not seen the fourth or the fucking the fifth. So this is the sixth, isn't it?
There's so many you lose. Yeah, I was the same as.
So the marked ones?
The marked ones is the one I haven't seen.
It's the fifth.
I didn't see the second one either because I don't want to see it. It's obvious a dog's going to die in it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't. Why do you always kill dogs in films? Like, every dog has to die, doesn't
it? Cats never get fucking killed, do they?
Yeah, like, a string a cat up.
Yeah, let's fucking redress this balance.
Also, just appeared on Netflix, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which I fucking paid to rent a few days before it showed up, so I was bitter about that.
Shit!
I was also bitter because it's shit. I was dead interested, because it's in... I've got an old book of, like, video nasties, and... The original was one of the first... I mean, it's a 70s film, but I think they didn't have anything to put out on VHS at the time, did they? So they, like, resurrected films from 10 years earlier. It was just... it's like, sort of, the whole film is this painful nod to the original, where they make out the original film was kind of a film documentary about a massacre in the town.
Okay.
And that sort of people who made the film were somehow implemented in everything that's going on. This sort of... It just needed to be a fucking fun slasher flick.
I hate remakes that, or sequels or whatever, that pay too much tribute to the original. I think that's. Did you see the Thing prequel?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think that was shit. I thought it was just
at its moment.
And there was a missed opportunity because they did a shitload of practical effects works in homage to the original, and they just replaced it all with CG, and it looked wank. But also, like beat for beat, there's like it's like every moment in The Thing has an equivalent in the prequel. And it's like, but this is, you're just fucking carbon copying this.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems a little bit unlikely.
One thing that instantly gave that film the mark of shit was, there's a great bit where you see it in the ice block and there's this kind of, oh fuck, someone's got a head right next to it, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then, spoiler alert, like, nothing actually happens to the person next to it. But then before they leave the room, it suddenly like goes, jumps through the ceiling, like, and it's like it's as if some spanner in the room just went for a joke, and nothing really was supposed to happen. But that just it completely ruined the whole suspense of the film for me. I thought
devoid of suspense.
This director's missed the point of The Thing.
Yeah,
the whole thing with The Thing was it was creeping around with paranoia, and I didn't really get much of that. There was a good. I liked the bit where that worm thing kind of sucks on someone's mouth or something.
Yeah,
I've
not watched it in a while. I don't feel compelled to really, but no, give it another blast. Be interested to do a double bill, start with a shit one and then end with a good one.
Yeah. I watched My Bloody Valentine, the 1981 version, which was actually that's on Netflix.
I think that's alright.
Which was a good laugh. I quite enjoyed it.
I think remake was one of the first 3D films I saw.
Really, right.
Fucking rubbish.
Is it crap?
I just found it a shit film, yeah.
It's one that totally passed me by, but there was a cool poster of it from that. I've been listening to that 1980s movie Graveyard mentioned last month. Like,
oh, yeah, shout out to those guys.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Been chatting away online. And they post up cool 80s shit every day. And that was one of the cool posters they put up, and it inspired me to watch it, the first one. It was a good scene with a laundrette drying machine.
Right.
You ever wondered what a fucking granny looks like after a couple of hours in one of them? You're in for a treat.
Nice.
Sorry, anything you want to... I'm dominating the headlines here now.
I'm good.
Just seeing The Gift, which... highly recommend.
I heard good things about that.
Yeah. Not sure I'd call it a horror. I think... Because I don't know. Well, it's good though. Because I think I was imagining it being some cheap stalker flick. I mean, I was all primed for that, and then it goes kind of off on a tangent in a different way. You know?
Right.
I don't want to say too much, but it was essentially like two old school friends, or just people who knew each other at school, bump into each other in some some store, and have a sort of awkward exchange of numbers. One of them seems a bit too keen to rekindle the friendship, and the film's like discovering what their actual relationship was and motivations are, and it's a bit of a I can't say it without wrecking it.
Right,
it's well worth checking out.
Okay.
Good call from Andy at UK Horror Scene.
I'd be interested to see. It's got Jason Bateman, hasn't it?
Yeah. Team of two.
If you want, go with Michael Bluth. I'd be interested to see him doing this kind of thing that's a bit more serious instead of really good, but he always seems to be playing the same thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem to be challenging himself. So yeah, this looks interesting on that front.
Yeah. There's a really sad scene in it where Jason Bateman tracks down the lad from school, and there's been a few goings on by this point. The guy in question is doing like a pub quiz thing,
right?
Like a portable pub quiz man, which I presume they have in America. And when he kind of goes to talk to him, he's loading his car up with these quiz sheets, and he's wearing a cardboard large bow tie.
Nice.
Just looks, it's really, but you feel really sorry for him because he looks such a sort of humble bastard with that bow tie on.
Shit. Poor lad.
And saw another one last night, and like, this is my last kind of horror flick. I saw Night of the Comet as well.
No, oh, that was a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chakotay with Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a weird, proper weird film, that.
A couple of young hotties in it.
Yeah.
Quite a sex-filled films to say they were both under 20.
I know.
You know, one of them looks about 16 or something.
Yeah, it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah. A few titties involved, that kind of thing. Didn't you say someone you know bought a Blu-ray?
It was put out a friend of mine and the band, a fella called Matt.
Yeah,
I don't know if you listen to podcasts, so I've never given him a shout out on this. But we had an afternoon. He came around mine. We watched Night of the Comet. Drank some whiskey. It was all right.
Cool.
But Arrow put it out, and Arrow put out some sweet DVD as well, Blu-rays.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, excellent. So the last one I was going to big up, watched Unfriended last night.
Right,
which I'd heard very mixed things about. I'd heard nothing but bad things until some link said it's actually not shit. It's quite interesting.
Right,
I'd agree with that. It's very inventive.
That's good.
It's the whole film is like a computer screen of a teenage girl.
Right.
I mean, first she's just sitting around on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's all based around a shaming video.
Right.
And one of the friends was shamed and then committed suicide as a result.
Yeah.
And a year later, all the pals are kind of having some sort of chat online, talking teenage bullshit. And this sort of an unknown user shows up in the chat they can't get rid of, and weird shit starts happening. Buttons start disappearing that allow them to delete stuff, and
shit.
And then pervy pictures start showing up on Facebook and that kind of thing.
Like, right.
One of the girls in the conversation is a bitch.
Yep.
And the unknown user suddenly types in, check out Facebook, Val. And she goes on there and she's like tooting on a bong, and like she's passed out with fuck me here pointing to a pussy and stuff.
Holy
and,
shit.
Well, like, the area, you don't see it. And stuff like that. She's like, oh, you fucking, I'm my mum. I've befriended my mum on Facebook.
My pal Becky said that she watched Unfriended, but actually watched it on a laptop. And she said it was fucking frightening.
Really?
Because it's a computer screen.
Okay.
It was on a laptop. Yeah.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah.
You got any horror shit you want to talk about?
Well, I was thinking, like, going back to festive season, there's not very many, I don't think there's many Christmas horror films, like I said, Krampus was out.
Uh-huh.
Like Gremlins, people seem to forget that's a Christmas movie.
Oh,
Christmas
movie.
Of
course it is, yeah.
But one thing that I always look at each year, and I don't know why, because it's not that good, but it has got some sleazy charm. It's Black Christmas, the original Black Christmas.
I was going to say, have you ever seen that? I've never seen it.
Have you not?
No.
I'll bloody lend it to you.
It's on Netflix.
Is it? I'll check it out. It's really
with Lois Lane.
Yeah, it was just a proper boozer. She's constantly pissed and on the phone and giving shit to people. And yeah, there's some nefarious shit goes down. It's got John Saxon in as well. It was always awesome and stuff.
Who's that guy?
He's the guy in Enter the Dragon who isn't Bruce Lee or Jim Kelly.
He's Roper.
Yeah.
He was blatantly never done martial arts before. Totally. His high kicks are worse than mine. Yeah. Mine now.
Yeah, John Saxon's in it as a shit copper. But it's just, I think it was the first film where you had, oh my God, the killer's in the house kind of thing.
Right.
But it's just, it's really unsettling. Well, it's not really unsettling. It's just, it's got this horrible atmosphere about it. And it's really good. But
is it 70s or 80s?
I believe it's late 70s.
Because by mid-80s, she was looking a bit ropey, wasn't she? So it must be...
Yeah, she's playing a college girl in this.
Yeah. I was trying to remember her name.
Margot Kidder.
Of course, yeah. What a looker in a day.
Oh, yeah, she's hot to trot. Yeah, I think this is pre-Superman, at least.
Yeah. The only person that's ever made me give a shit about Lois Lane, like, what a shit annoying character, but she sort of gave it something.
I suppose she did. Yeah.
Frank Miller likes to rag on Lois Lane, saying there's no way Superman would lower himself. So just be nobbing some boring, self-absorbed.
He's so self-absorbed. Twat. God.
Yeah, he's like, it blatantly just go for Wonder Woman if he had any brains.
I think that's fair. Speaking of Wonder Woman, let's bring it back. We've just recently had the trailer for Batman Superman. Hey, we've had a load of trailers drop this week as well.
Yeah. I've had a lot of opinions about it that I didn't actually... didn't come from me.
Yes.
But May likes the posters, the beast.
All right. What I'm going to do... Right, because you post... to be fair, you post things... Like, I'm not proposing that we start running shit by each other, because that's ridiculous. Yeah. But to be fair, you do post things that I wouldn't have posted, but you actually don't actually have a comment with them. Just post them.
Okay.
So if I'd have posted that trailer without saying whatever,
you
wouldn't have an issue, would you?
No.
Right.
No.
So let's do that. Let's agree to that on air.
Never comment.
No. Don't post something. Post what you want, but don't say, this looks fucking awesome, because the other one might disagree. Yeah, but if you just post it, then it's just been posted. Because it was relevant news, like, in terms of, like,
well, that's what I just said, isn't it? Don't comment on it. Just post. I mean, didn't we agree, like, just put Jim here or McVeigh here and then say what you want?
Well, you can do that as well. I'm just saying, I just got excited. I just got excited. I don't know. Did we? I don't know. I've had a lot going on, Jim.
Yeah.
What's going on? All right, yeah, fine.
Well, why don't you just deal with Twitter and then we won't get some cunt spamming us?
I fucking hate it. I hate Twitter, man. I don't know how to work it. I am not versed in Twitter.
Yeah, I've not convinced, like... I haven't looked at my Hotmail in weeks because Twitter emails me 50 times a day
You can turn them off.
I'm going to have to. I don't want to be a rude cunt and not follow someone that's followed me because you feel like you're...
Yeah,
but then I'm never going to look at it. I don't really look at it much, so I don't know. But then occasionally you get a retweet off someone and it's like, I'm glad I'm doing this now.
Is that you?
Yeah. So there you go.
Batman Superman trailer.
Looking good.
It was getting a lot of hate. A lot of people bitching about Lex Luthor, a lot of people bitching about the humour.
I thought it was alright. Yeah. I mean,
and then I saw someone had put up a fucking meme of it was, I imagine, Doomsday, with a fucking troll from Lord of the Rings says, "I'm your father." My fuck, stop being a dick.
I mean, the thing with Doomsday, I was never married to the original design anyway because he looks like a fucking old man.
Yeah,
he looks like
with a few horns popping off.
Yeah, he looks like some old bloke, and I don't really give a shit if he looks a bit less bony.
No,
it's fine. I've not got a problem with that. I mean,
it's not like Doomsday was a character anyone kind of got to know and love.
Yeah, I mean, he was a one-hit wonder like Bane, wasn't he? He was like,
that's where I was going to just
open book.
Given Bane's story, I kind of bought into Bane. I liked what Bane was about. I got that.
So they got that trilby on in Batman and Robin.
Well, exactly. That's where he peaked, I think. Fucking Poison Ivy's chauffeur. Fucking hell, Joel Schumacher. Never forgive, never forget.
we had a little bit of banter about, I was winding McVeigh up about Batman's fucking flasher coat in the teaser for the new trailer, and I did a little Photoshop diss.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
As if Superman, as well as stringing him up in his flasher coat, would pull his pants down. We've got Star Wars this week.
Yeah, we'll have seen Star Wars by the time this has gone out, actually.
Yeah, man. So, what are you feeling about that?
I'm going to learn from previous experience, not get too much of a boner. Just the semi. Yeah. See what happens. Yeah. I'm up for it. I'm also, as I said to you off air, I've been on my work's Christmas due from lunchtime, so I'm going to be fucking ruined. So I'm going to have to catch an IMAX screening of it later in the week.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time I've gone to cinema pissed, I've just fallen asleep.
Yeah, I need to...
woke up snoring.
how embarrassing would that be? I go to the opening midnight showing of Star Wars and fucking pass out. I'd be mortified. So I'm going to pace myself, I'm going to eat a lot during the day, and keep it civilised. But yeah, I'm very excited. I've not watched the most recent trailer. Apparently it seems to be showing a lot of stuff. But I'm just liking what I've seen.
I think they've done a good job of not... they've not gone OTT. You know, like the last Terminator film, they basically showed the whole film in the trailer.
Yeah.
Ruined every surprise, and I think they've not done too much of that.
No, I think you're right.
You can sort of piece together the basics of the story, but there's a hell of a lot I think they're holding back. And
yeah, I think there's a lot of people like clinging on to the absence of Mark Hamill in anything. Yeah. He hasn't got his own poster. He's not in any of the trailers. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know. I think people who fucking don't quite get it keep saying to me, "Oh, he's the new Darth Vader."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Fuck off! No, he isn't. No way they would do that."
Yeah,
because it sort of did it in some of the comics, but not really. Dark Empire comics, he becomes a bit more like a Vader figure for a while.
Right,
he reads the Emperor's dark books.
Oh, shit.
I have read his dark books.
Well, that's all been fucked off out the window anyway, hasn't it? Now,
like the Empire.
No, like what was it called? The Expanded Universe.
All right,
like
yeah.
Since this, we're on 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah,
I think they've
wiped the slate clean.
They wiped it clean.
There was different threads anyway, weren't there? There was like the bugs kind of. I mean, there was a bug between, what's it called? Splinter in a Mind's Eye was some old Star Wars book that came out before Empire or something. An old one. I never read it. Did you read it?
No.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a little bit tentative, but what I did love about those Star Trek flicks is how the scale of the ships was really fucking wow. Mm. Even on a small screen, you really get like these space scenes look absolutely amazing, I think. And
yeah.
It's almost a shame when it cuts back to the fucking, what's his name, being a shit Captain Kirk and... Yeah, I don't know. They're okay. I mean, I don't think William Shatner, you can really recast his Kirk.
No, I guess
very
not.
Very easily.
No.
The guy did okay. Scylla did a fucking sweet job. Since Quinto.
Zachary Quinto, yeah.
Kicked ass with his angry Spock.
Excellent Spock.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you could have said that one. How the fuck do you recast Spock? But he actually managed it, didn't he?
So,
it bodes well. Even if it's shit, at least I think it'll look sweet.
Yeah.
And so did you see the Binks Awakens trailer?
No, I didn't watch that.
Oh, man. Somebody did a great, YouTube piss take where, you know, Jar Jar keeps showing up, obviously, but the best one was, you know, Vader's helmet.
Yeah.
It pans close to Vader's helmet and suddenly, like, Jar Jar's eyes stick through on stalks and then his tongue appears and goes, "Dililililil." I just spat my tea out at that. So we shall see. I suppose it's Christmas soon. This has not really been a Christmas episode, but we're going to try and team up over the festive season and
we'll do another
shit episode like last year.
I might be pissed up this time.
Yeah, you'll be able to talk.
Yeah, we'll do a roundup of the year, I guess. The year in review.
And we could review our Christmas presents.
Yeah, of course.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everyone wants to know about that sort of thing.
Oh, that's why they're listening, right?
Have you got anything good on your Christmas list?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't got anything.
I've got Fury Road in 3D coming my way.
Ooh, nice.
So I'm getting a new telly soon.
Sweet deal.
That's going to be the foot. I'm going to christen the new TV with that.
Ooh.
Yep. So looking forward to that.
That'll be good.
I'm getting a John Romita Jr. Superman book.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
So yeah, there you go. No graphic novels on the old list.
I'll be honest, I haven't thought about anything at all. I don't want anything apart from peace of mind.
Right.
Peace of mind.
World peace.
No, not well. Yeah, world peace. I suppose. But all I want is one of those three bird roasts, which is like a fucking turkey and a duck and a chicken, or like a bunch of meat stuffed into one thing.
So, how do you feel about ending with your new clench?
Oh shit! Track? Yeah, of course.
What's the deal, McVeigh?
Regular listeners of the show will know that I'm in a band. We're called The Clench, and in a shocking act of altruism and niceness, we've decided to not only do a Christmas single, but we're putting it out for charity. So once we've counted all the pennies, if we do sell any, all that money's going straight to Shelter, which I think we can all agree is a fine organisation, especially this time of year. A lot of people without shelter. So
hopefully there's not some fat man in London living in a mansion at the root of it, like fucking Save the Children.
Yeah, you'd hope not.
Sorry, that's a negative. No, I'm sure there isn't.
So yeah, we're putting this single out. It should be out by the time you hear this. And if you've not already bought it, we're going to stick it on here. It's called I Don't Need No Vengeance at Christmas.
Yeah.
And we're quite happy with it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So where can the good Meat for the Beast listeners find it?
Usual outlets. It's going to be on iTunes, Spotify and whatnot. I think iTunes might cap the price, but we're going to put it on Bandcamp, which allows you to name your price if someone's feeling particularly charitable and thinks it's worth more than 79p.
Okay,
bearing in mind that it's going straight to those guys. No one's making any money off this. Even the guy who recorded it, shout out to Nort, who practice at his place. He's recorded, produced it, mixed it and mastered it, and he's put far more time into it than we did recording it.
Blimey.
And writing it. So it's a good thing for a good cause, and it doesn't sound shit. So,
excellent.
So yeah, here it is.
Boom.
Yeah.
Adios.
Bye bye. Facing my turkey and says a rack ride. We got pigs and blankets, eggnog on the side. Uncle Larry is bringing his racist jokes. We'll be starting the menu with potato toast. We'll be raising a glass to Uncle Jeb, who just died. And Patsy's bringing a homemade mince pie. Your face wouldn't render when you want a Don Draper. Don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I said I don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I'm carving the turkey with a Bowie knife. Got liquor to fuel. With a glass of cognac, sitting round a fire with my brand new gun rack, dropping some gifts round the great Aunt Kathy's, singing along to Two Eyes of Johnny Mathis. Don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I said I don't need no vengeance this Christmas.
said I don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I said I don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I said I don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I said I don't need no vengeance this Christmas. I said I don't.